right, thank you, and you may be seated. Take your Bible tonight, if you will, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 4, if you would. Romans chapter 4, and I just want to preach to you a little bit. The song we just sang ties in good with the message, and I was thinking about this afternoon, you know, the Apostle Paul writing to the folks at Rome a lot about salvation. There's a great deal here, you know, and obviously justification by faith, and it's apart from the law. But you know, I thought, here we are, it's a Sunday night crowd. I don't really feel like I need to preach to you about justification and salvation, because I think, by and large, the Sunday night crowd's not lost. They come to church because they know the Lord, they love the Lord, and they want to be here. But I want to use some of these verses here to challenge you a little bit. I want to begin reading in verse 17. The Bible says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for us his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Now I want you to look back at verse 20, if you would. There's a phrase there that, I'll be honest, has always just really intrigued and excited me, where the Bible said he staggered not at the promise of God. He staggered not at the promise of God. You know, how great it would be to have that kind of faith in our God. To have that kind of faith that doesn't stagger at the promise of God. Now, Abraham, the Bible said, had that kind of faith. We like to look at Abraham and think about his failures. You said, "Oh, no, preacher, not." Yeah, we do. We do that because it makes us feel better, because we know we have failures. Well, Abraham did have some lapses of faith. He did go down into Egypt a time or two when he shouldn't have done it. But wait a minute, he still had that kind of faith that staggered not at the promises God gave him. Now, that word stagger, to stagger means to hesitate, to waver, to be uncertain. I believe it reveals a certain amount of weakness. You know, usually if somebody staggers when they're walking, you know, think, well, there's a little weakness there. What's wrong, you know? Or maybe something like that. But since we Christians are to walk by faith, we're to live by faith, and I think it behooves us to at least attempt to develop a faith that will not stagger at the promises of God. God's word's filled with promises. Filled with promises. Now, and I realize a lot of those promises were not given to you and me, but you know what? It's the ones that are in here that are given to us that, man, just ought to thrill us a lot. And those promises, we ought to be able to take them and not stagger at those promises, not hesitate, all right? Not waver when it comes to the promise of God. And so if we're not going to stagger, if we're going to have a faith that does not stagger, what does that imply? What does that, you know, need, or what's involved in it? First of all, I want you to see this. I believe it's conditioned faith. It's conditioned faith. Look there in verse 20. It says, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith." Strong in faith. He staggered not because he was strong in faith. That is the exact opposite of unbelief. The exact opposite of unbelief. Being strong in faith, the truth of the matter, is unfortunately not the norm. It's not the norm to see people that are strong in faith. We're used to people that are weak. We're used to people that have a lack of faith. even the disciples, the apostles, if you will, in Luke chapter 17 and verse 5, they came to the Lord and they said to him, increase our faith. They realized they had a need for increased faith. Listen, that faith, if it's what we're going to live on, and if it's what we're going to walk by, it needs to be strong. Let's face it, the last few months have been months that try our faith. It is. I mean, it's a trying time. We're going through a trying time in our country. We're going through a trying time in the world. All of these things, we look around, we think, what in the world? Well, we need strong faith. Strong faith. Now, I said it's conditioned because strong faith is not developed accidentally. It's not what you get just by the luck of the draw, okay? It's not that at all. When I was a kid, I'm going to confess to you my sin, all right? When I was a kid, we'd have a special day at church, and there's cake, you know, and then you know how they already cut it and put it out, or they dip a bowl of banana pudding, or maybe I was at First Cafeteria and I was going along looking for that millionaire pie. Now I don't know how you were as a kid, but when I was a kid, I'd go along and I would look, and I would think, that piece is kind of scrawny. I'm looking for a big piece. We're talking dessert, okay? And so I'm looking for a big piece. I'd look for the biggest piece. Anybody else ever do that? Thank God I'm not the only lost, wicked sinner here, all right? Man, I look for the biggest piece, you know. I find myself doing it now, but I try to do that when I think of it and realize I don't need the biggest piece anymore. It's not that way. It's not the luck of the draw. My brother and my two cousins went on vacation one time, and we went down to Florida, and after we'd moved to Texas, lived here several years, we picked them up, and we drove to Florida, and we ate more Kentucky Fried Chicken than I've ever eaten in that same time span in my life because, man, we would always stop, and it just seemed like Kentucky Fried Chicken was conveniently located, and we would all order the same thing. We had all ordered the same thing. I don't remember what it was, three-piece meal or whatever. I don't remember what it was. And this is the truth. This is the truth, all right? We'd open that box after we got in the car because we was eating and kind of on run. We'd open that box. I'd look at it, and I'd look at theirs. They'd have two breasts and you know, another big piece. I'd have two thighs and a wing. Or not. No, two legs, not two thighs. I mean, just two legs and a wing. And I go, what's the deal? I mean, you know, what is it that I'm just lucky, you know? I'm just a lucky fella here, you know? Hey, listen, faith is not handed out that way. It's not if you get the lucky box, okay? The Lord's willing to give you whatever faith you want. But faith is, you know, like I said, it's not developed accidentally. People today go to the gym and they work out. And many of them, especially younger folks, they'll go and they want to develop strong muscles and they'll exercise, you know, and they'll exercise and exercise. Why? To develop those strong muscles. The whole thought is, hey, they'll go to the gym, they'll pump out just one more rep. They'll add just a few more pounds to that barbell, all right? Just a few more. Why? Well, we've got to push it and we've got to test it and we've got to stretch it in order to strengthen that muscle, all right? We'll do that to develop muscle. But in the same way, I want you to know this. Our test, our faith needs to be tested. Our faith needs to be pushed. If you're going to develop a strong faith, then you're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to step out by faith. You're just going to have to do some things by faith. We talk about, well, I'd like to have that kind of faith that doesn't stagger at the promise of God. Well, you're going to have to build it. It's going to have to be conditioned. It's going to be something you decide, well, I'll develop. How do I develop it, preacher? By exercising your faith. Now, what is it you need to exercise your faith in? Well, I don't know. Where is it you need to do it? I think every time the offering plates pass, a good place to exercise your faith. Good place to exercise faith. I'm going to give. I'm just going to do that. We have a mission conference every February. What we're trying to do is get people to test their faith a little bit and say, you know what, by faith, I'm going to promise God this is what I'll give to missions, you know, every week or every month or every 2 weeks, and I'm going to try to increase it. Just try to increase it every year if I can. Add to it, all right, to see that grow. Why? To develop your faith. Amen. To develop your faith. We castigate the Apostle Peter sometimes because when the Lord came walking on the water, Peter said, well, bid me to come to thee on the water. Yeah. We talk about him sinking, but wait a minute, I'll tell you, he walked on the water. Amen. The only person that ever walked on the water besides Jesus Christ is the Apostle Peter. And if he took one step or two steps on the water, that's one or two more than you've ever done. It's one or two more than I've ever done. Say, well, how'd you do it? His trust in the Lord. His trust in him. Hey, why? Because he wanted to work on that faith. Oh, listen, I just think about it. Condition your faith. Strengthen it. Push it a little bit. Push it a little bit. Trust God. Sometimes it takes a lot of faith for you to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of faith. I still have times if we're out door knocking where I've got a little fear come in. I've had people come to the door. I've probably mentioned this before, but it fits here. I'll mention it again. I can remember being out by myself knocking doors as a very young man, and I was just out. I was over in Melody Hills in Fort Worth and knocking doors there, and I knocked on the door, and this guy came to the door. Man, he was a monster, all right? Just huge guy. And it was almost like open the door. What do you want? Nothing. I'm at the wrong house. That's what I wanted to say, all right? That's what I thought about saying. But I didn't say that. Hey, you know, it tests our faith a little bit to do that. To get out, to have the courage to just talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. That pumps that faith. That builds that faith. You want to have the faith that doesn't stagger. Then what you need to do is condition it a little bit. I'll go to the gym. Good for you. Not a problem. Don't care if you do. Hey, but why don't you go to that faith gym a little bit? Build it a little bit. It's conditioned faith. But I want you to see the second thing is concentrated faith. Look, if you will, again there in verse 20. Now, we left off reading there. It says he was strong in faith. But I want you to notice that next phrase. Giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. Listen, the purpose of strong faith, the purpose of strong faith is not so that you will look good. It's not to make me look good. It's not to make you look good. It's not to draw attention to yourself. A lot of those fellows, I remember going to camp when Pete Ruckman was a preacher. And he'd make fun of bodybuilders, all right? He'd say, yeah, these guys go to the gym and they are standing in front of the mirror, you know, and all that kind of business. Listen, your faith, that faith is not given to you, and you're not to exercise it so you can go, look at me. It's not for you. The truth of the matter is really not for your benefit. All right? It's not to make you look good. It's not to draw attention to you. Faith that does not stagger needs to have as its goal to bring honor and glory to God. That ought to be the goal of it. It's to lift up the name of our Savior. It's not to draw attention to us. It's to draw attention to Him. All right, to help us to do that, it is to point men to Jesus Christ. Well, I just don't know how you have that kind of faith. Well, it's because of God. God gave it to me, and I found out that I can trust Him. You see, you tell those kind of things, it's not to brag on you, it's to brag on Him. It's to brag on Him. It's to point people to Him. Faith that only serves yourself and only serves you will never be the kind that staggers not at the promise of God. If all your faith is just to make you look good, if all your faith is to make that check look big and say, you see how much I'm giving? It won't do any good. You'll not have the faith that doesn't stagger. If it's all about you, then it won't do the trick. It won't do the job. When the going gets tough, you'll stagger, all right? But it's faith, faith that brings glory and honor to God. Because after all, folks, listen, it is the promise of God that draws our faith. It's the promise of God that draws our faith that we'll step out and step up based on His promise to see the results that only God can give. That's what it's all about. It's faith in Him. I remember when Heidi's brother was in a terrible wreck and boy was in the hospital for months in a coma and everything. Boy, people prayed. We were trusting God, calling upon Him. And everything we did was, hey, Lord, we want to honor You. And this is, it's going to bring glory to You, not to us and not to the hospital, but to You. Only You can do that. Only You can do that. My brother was injured in a car accident, thrown out of a car and landed on the road, covered up for dead. And somebody saw him move. And so fortunately, they took him to the hospital instead of the morgue, all right? And so they took him in. He's unconscious for 2 weeks. And, well, after that whole thing was done, by the way, people praying all over the country, all over the country. People praying, asking God to spare his life. After it was over, our doctor told my dad, he said, never believe much in prayer until this. Until this. Why? Hey, the faith, faith was in God, and it wasn't to lift us up. It was, hey, could I want you to see what God can do? I just want you to see what God can do. Well, I pray oftentimes, Lord, would You do something so marvelous that it's obvious only You could have done it. Only You could have done it. And not that we can brag. See, we prayed for that. No. But boy, thank God for people that'll have some faith. And then faith that is conditioned, that they work at it and they build it up. And faith that points to Christ. Faith that points to Him. Faith not that we can bring on ourselves and say, look at me, see how great I am. See how great my faith is. No! Faith that glorifies Him. You want faith that doesn't stagger. It's faith that brings glory and honor to Him. Hey, Abraham's faith honored God. Honored God. We sit here tonight, thousands of years after Abraham lived, bragging on what God did for Abraham. Why? Because Abraham believed God. Because Abraham believed God. Hey, we've got several chapters in Romans written because of the faith of Abraham. All of it illustrated by the faith of Abraham. Why? Because he didn't stagger at the promise of God. Didn't stagger at the promise of God. And that promise, that faith he had was conditioned. It was concentrated. But boy, I'll tell you this, you'll never have that kind of faith unless you're convinced. Convinced. You say, what do you mean? Look at verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. You know, there's a lot of folks today that claim to believe some things during times of peace and prosperity and tranquility. And their faith is good as long as it's that way. But in difficult and in trying times, in times of stress, in times of trial, those things that they've claimed to believe seem to go out the window because they no longer stand on those promises of God. We waver. We waver. Has your bank account ever got to the point where it was time to pay the tithe? And you said, Lord, if I pay my tithe, I don't know what we're going to do about the rest of these bills. Just don't know what I'm going to do. There have been some times in my wife and I's marriage where we've looked at some of those bills and it was, well, we're going to pay this on this one and this on that one right now. We'll do it like that. And we'll just spread it out. Leroy over here can wait. All right, he'll get his eventually, you know. But I just can't do it all. But I'll tell you, the one thing we always did, we always paid the tithe. You see, I believe God will honor that kind of faith. I believe God will honor that kind of faith. But a lot of people, man, when the times get difficult, listen, how many people do you know? You know people that times got hard, and there were trials, there were difficulties, there was tribulation, there was tragedy maybe, and you see them do an about face and walk away from God? Well, I've seen it happen a lot of times. People, everything, man, if everything's going good, well, okay, God's all right. But man, when they go through that trial, it's, Lord, what about those promises? What about those promises? Well, that's when promises like Romans 8:28 come into play. For we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Hey, listen, here's a problem. Faith is not it's not convincing faith just when the times are good. Hey, convincing faith is when it's tough. When things don't look like it's going to work out. But that's where being fully persuaded comes into play. And can I say this to you? This is a very profound statement. Please get it. Fully persuaded means just that. Fully. Fully persuaded. Notice what it says there. Fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. What he had promised, he was able to perform. I believe there's a fellow named Abraham that believed God just that way. I believe that when he, the scripture talks about it here. He said when his body was dead, he's talking about man long past the age of ever having children. Long past that, him, his wife too. But God had told Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And that son is not Ishmael. That was your idea. But he said, I'm going to give you a son. I believe Abraham believed it. Abraham believed it. Believed it happened. And after Isaac was born, a few years later down the road, God told Abraham, Abraham, you take that son and you take him up Mount Moriah and you offer him as a burnt offering unto me. And you sacrifice him to me. Abraham gathered stuff up the next day, tucked it along. He said, why? Because he believed God was still going to do what God said he would do. He had already told him, that son, Isaac, is the son of promise. He said, why? Because he believed the promise of God. He didn't stagger at the promise of God. Stretched him out on the altar, had the knife ready to plunge it into him. Why? Because he was fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Now, God's not about to ask you to do that today. But he does want you to do some things. He wants you to step out, all right? Hey, fully persuaded. That means no doubt. No doubt and no dissent. It's not one of them deals, well, the Lord, maybe could you think about it? No. Lord, if that's what you want, I'll do it. Fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. No doubt, no dissent in you. Convinced that the Bible's true. Man, there's a great old chorus. My brother and I were talking about choruses up here tonight. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All the blessings of his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine, mine, mine. Every promise in the book is mine. They're there for you. They're there for you. Boy, but we stagger at those promises. Why? We're not really fully persuaded. We're not really fully persuaded. Just not. I think about Peter that day. There were some folks that went away from following the Lord. And the Lord asked those disciples, will you also go away? And Peter said, well, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You know, now you think about that. Where else are you going to go for eternal life? Well, let's go to Hinduism. You got to be kidding. You just want to be reincarnated over and over again? No, not me. Not me. Once through this old world is enough, okay? once. That's enough. Where are you going to go for eternal life? No other place to go but the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know you can trust him for your Savior. And you can call upon him, ask him to save you, and mean every word of it. But still, when it comes to death, people be a little bit shaken. Why? Because they're really not fully persuaded. Not fully persuaded. But I'm not talking about death. I'm talking about living right now in your life. Are you fully persuaded that the Bible's true? Convinced that what God's promised, he is able, he's willing, and he's ready to do it. Ready to do it. Are you? Fully persuaded. I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were fully persuaded. I believe they were fully persuaded. They stood there before old Nebuchadnezzar, and they said, hey, our God's able. He's able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. You said, well, they left the door open when they said, but if not, that didn't mean they weren't convinced he could. They just knew that was up to him what he was going to do. Listen, God's able. We live in a day, man, where God's people need to be fully persuaded. Convinced. Now let me wind the message up tonight with a challenge. Would you look down there in those verses we read? Would you look to verse 23? Now, it was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him. But for us also. For us also. Hey, listen, it wasn't written down and recorded for the sake of Abraham. No, it went beyond that. You know, did you ever read the Bible and stop and think about it? I read that and I think, you know, it sounds like our Lord won't do the same for somebody else. My Bible says he's no respecter of persons. So I believe he still wants to do the same kind of thing for other people. If we just put out that faith that staggers not. And since the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith, then I believe it would please God to see some other people who just have just that faith that they would not stagger at the promise of God. Now, I'll tell you who I'd like to be those people. Us right here. Boy, I'd like for us to be that. I'd like for us to have that kind of faith. Every one of us. Every one of us. To have that kind of faith to trust God and trust him so completely that we'd not stagger at the promise of God. And as we read through the Bible and we see the promise that God's given us, and by the way, most promises are conditioned. Most promises are conditioned. If you'll do this, God says, I'll do that. But that if part demands our faith to be exercised. Hey, and if we just learn to find those things and go through the Bible, I think a lot of people go through the Bible looking for promises that don't require much. Don't require much. I'd rather just bask in the things that I've got rather than the things I could have, you know. But boy, if we just take those promises of God, and we'd act upon that if part and just stand back and watch him do what he could do. Oh, not for me, not for you, but for him, for him. Well, I'll tell you the truth. You know, I get aggravated listening to people that want to say there is no God or to ask where is God. And every now and then I get sort of, I really want to pray like Elijah prayed. Send fire down and roast their hides. Okay, I mean, just let them have it. And I, you know, Lord, okay, don't send fire, but just hit them with lightning. All right? Just a low frequency strike. Not the full charge, all right? Just give them a little bit, they'll knock them down, all right? But wait a minute, God doesn't want to do that, but God does like to see us take him at his word. And then God can turn around and bless it. And then we can say, look what God did. Look what God did. We can point people to him. We can bring honor and glory to him. I just ask you tonight, is that the kind of faith you're operating on? Is that the kind of faith you're operating on? You say, well, preacher, I'm not real sure. Well, let me ask this. Are you at least trying to develop that kind of faith? Are you willing to go down in the faith's gym, if you will, and work out a little bit? Exercise your faith. Trust him a little more. And trust him a little more each day. Just every day, a little bit more trust in him. A little bit more following his command. Why? So that you can have that kind of faith that staggers not at the promise of God. What's the good of that? So we can bring honor and glory to our Lord. Not so we can toot our own horn, but so we can point people to Christ. So we can say, look what God's done. Look at the work he did. Because God's people exercise some faith in him. Are you working on that kind of faith tonight? Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Help us see the truth of the Word of God. Lord, help us to just pull back and think how good it'd be to have that kind of faith that doesn't stagger. Lord, the faith that can take the promise of God, act on that promise without a doubt, without any dissent whatsoever, but with courage and with assurance, Lord, you're going to do exactly what you said. You'll do what you've said you'd do. Lord, would you help us to develop that kind of faith? Lord, we'll never do it until we want it. And I pray, Lord, that'd be the kind of faith we'd want to have. Lord, I'm trusting you, and you just do what you will and help me to be a part of it. Lord, now speak to us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand tonight as we sing the invitation hymn? Listen, the Lord's dealt with you a little bit. If you need to come, spend some time at the altar. The altar's here. It's open. Would you come? Would you come while we sing? Come on.
Just as I am without